You're listening to KNKX. In recent years, there have been changes to state law to limit the use of suspensions in school. You can look up a lot of data on discipline numbers, but those don't tell the human stories, the why behind one kid coming to school stoned or another with a backpack full of stolen goods. Some schools are now shifting away from punishment, which leaves kids feeling angry and disconnected. Instead, students who break rules sit down to talk with the people they've wronged, and the result can be powerful. 88.5 Youth and Education reporter Ashley Gross explores how this is playing out at one alternative high school near Tacoma.
Jim Good has been teaching for 3 decades, but he had never heard of a restorative circle until last year. Good teaches PE at Gates High School in Parkland. His gym is a bit of a sanctuary at this small school of 130 students. One reason is because he lets kids listen to music while they exercise. Today they're shooting hoops while the song Human by Rag & Bone Man plays in the background. But last year, his set of $180 speakers he had brought from home disappeared.
I was absent one day, and when I came back, my speaker system had been stolen.
At other schools where he taught, Good says a theft like that would set the great discipline machine in motion. Suspension, maybe charges. But instead, Gates's principal, Val Jones, suggested a restorative circle. Jones and Good sat down with the girl who had stolen the speakers and her friends who had pressured her to do it. Good says he was skeptical. But when Jones asked him to explain how he felt, he opened up.
Some of the equipment is my personal equipment, and I have an 11-year-old kid. So I started talking about some of the stuff that I brought here, and the equipment might be destroyed or torn down. So after a while, my son would ask, Dad, why do you keep giving your things or giving my things to these kids that don't appreciate it?
Then he explained what he usually says to his children when they ask him that.
I tell my kids that, you know, the kids at Gates might not have everything that we have, so we have to just keep giving. But when I started telling that story, oh my gosh, the tears just started flowing from the girls. They just started to understand just the damage that something like that can cause.
He got his speakers back that same day. And he says the whole tenor of his relationship with the girls shifted. They'd ask about his family and take leadership roles in class.
Once they started realizing that, we weren't going to hold it against them, and yes, then this is totally different kids, totally different kids.
Students will do almost anything for you if they think you care about them. They want to please you so badly as a teacher.
Gates principal, Val Jones. She says when she took the job 9 years ago, the school had about 200 suspensions in a school year, more than one per kid. She's been focused on reducing that. Last year, the school had 6 suspensions. So far this year, there have been 8. Jones says the restorative method doesn't always work. But she says for many students, talking things out instead of punishing them is more effective.
When they realize that they've done something that may have hurt someone or impacted the community that they're learning in, then they want to make it better.
Morning.
For a restorative circle to work, she says there has to be something to restore.
Hello.
You have to build an environment where people have empathy for each other. Shamir Hackney is an English teacher who's a big believer in this.
We're going to sit in a circle.
It's early in the morning, and a handful of kids amble into her homeroom class. It's called Check and Connect, and it's one way the school tries to keep students on track. Gates is an alternative high school where students can catch up on credits when they've fallen behind elsewhere. What Hackney wants to talk about on this day is why they haven't been meeting their attendance goal.
No one's trying to convict anybody. We're just trying to like figure some stuff out because we set that goal and day one was not awesome. And so we need to figure that out.
A student named Saliana Middleton urges her classmate to do a better job of coming to school. She even offers to pick him up.
Call me and tell me I need you to come get me. I will. But it's, you have dreams, and I see that you have so much aspiration and drive.
Her teacher, Shamir Hackney, says this kind of circle helps students form bonds and hold each other accountable. Hackney has close-cropped, curly hair and a big smile. But her brow is often furrowed because she's trying to figure out what's going on with her students, why one girl isn't making eye contact, why another seems upset. A big part of her teaching style is to listen deeply. She turns her attention to Celiana.
You said that you feel so blessed and lucky that you had a mom who has 2 master's degrees, raised 6 kids by herself, and that's kind of what keeps you going. But then you're going to go ahead and live that out, and you said just because you're pregnant and you're going to have a baby soon, you need to be that for your baby.
So this part of Pierce County feels very far away from Seattle's skyscrapers and booming economy. There are so many students here who qualify for free or reduced meals that the school provides breakfast and lunch to everyone. Nicholas Nava, Kayleen Heron, and Adrian Carter described some of the struggles their fellow classmates face.
Some people here, they got kids themselves, and like it's hard to like cope.
There's students here who have had family members murdered.
We had a girl here earlier this school year, her whole house burned down.
There's students here who are in the foster system. There's students here who are out of juvie or out of jail. There's a lot of different things here.
Many of them also have a history of suspensions in other schools, but Heron says she doesn't think they work.
Most kids, they don't want to be at school. So when they get suspended or expelled, they're like, thanks, like you just gave me time off of school. I don't have to be at a place I don't want to be at anymore.
For some kids, that kind of traditional punishment might be a deterrent. For a lot of people, it is not.
Carolyn Treleaven is Executive Director of Teaching and Learning in the Franklin Pierce School District. The district does have a higher discipline rate than the state as a whole, but Treleaven says they're trying to find alternatives to suspensions. To do that, she says school leaders have to figure out why a kid is breaking the rules. That includes understanding how kids who have lived through trauma act when they're stressed.
Not excusing the behavior. We still don't want meltdowns and chair throwing or, you know, profane outbursts. But getting to what's really underneath that a little bit and having kids learn coping strategies as opposed to just punishing the behavior without thinking about what was it that triggered that, what's going on.
This represents a big shift away from the kind of discipline policies that became common in schools in the 1990s. The emphasis then was on zero tolerance and removing kids who disrupted school. But research has piled up showing that approach was flawed. A task force of psychologists found that exclusionary discipline doesn't make schools safer or improve behavior.
Could you take that idea and
in her English class, teacher Shamir Hackney emphasizes setting group norms. On this day, her students have just watched a video called The Wisdom of Geese.
What are some of the traits you noticed? What are some of the things you noticed that worked, if you'd like that to be our class?
The video explains how, for example, geese fly in a V because it creates uplift and allows them to fly more efficiently.
What'd you say, Alana?
I said that I thought it was pretty cool how, like, when one of them falls back, like, 2 other ones kind of, like, come back to help it try to stay with everyone else.
The discussion lays the groundwork for mission statements the students will write. The aim is to help them care about each other's success. Hackney works to let the kids know she cares, too. 17-year-old senior Xavier Harrison says he appreciates that.
There's not a lot of people like Miss Hackney, so I like speaking with Miss Hackney.
Harrison admits he has a history of getting in trouble for things like fighting and defiance, but he says he likes Gates better than his old school. Hackney says she's had her own problems with his behavior, but she also tells him he should go to college and study philosophy.
She always tells me, like, things that are, like, positive about me. I always hear about the negative stuff. I didn't know anything positive about myself.
Hackney says you won't get anything done as a teacher unless the students know you value them.
I had one kid 2 weeks ago. He was thinking about some experiences he had at another school, and he said, man, you gotta teach to my heart.
Hackney says that stopped her in her tracks.
I was like, who told you to say that? Like, where did you? He's like, yeah, man, you gotta teach to my heart. And I wrote it on the board, and I talked to them about how that's brain science would back that statement. Make sure that my amygdala is soothed, essentially. Make sure that I'm okay there and I'm prepared to learn. Because if your amygdala is not soothed and you don't feel loved and you feel like you're on edge, you're not going to be able to learn. Page 2, left-hand side, peer response to ego and narcissism. You guys with me?
Hackney says she and other teachers have to hold kids accountable and make them feel safe and listened to. That means striking a balance between expecting a lot from students and being mindful of their struggles. It also means showing them how to make amends when they mess up so they can get back to learning. Ashley Gross, 88.5 News.